D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan here with you. Pleased to be joined, as we are every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on OutKick. Hello, Hutton. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Good to be back with you. And what a great lead for me to be able to lead into Silly Underdog Picks. It's quite something.
Yes, we are glad.
This is a coveted spot.
We are glad to have you. Now, Hutton, I will admit, I had sort of forgotten about the whole Bill Belichick, Jordan Hudson thing for a while.
Yeah.
Until I saw a headline today that the two of them have applied to trademark the term gold digger to use on jewelry and keychains, among other trademarks. And
right.
Now,
the two of them or one of them? I have a feeling one of them is a part of that.
Well, I am just reading off of Sportico, and it says Bill Belichick and his girlfriend Jordan Hudson have applied to trademark the term gold digger to use on jewelry and keychains. Now, as you know, I am incredibly biased, but I hope that Bill Belichick at North Carolina is a complete and total disaster. My question for you is, do you think UNC will be a story all college football season long, or do you anticipate the novelty wearing off over time?
This is going to be a story all season long. Now, I think there will be some roller coaster rides with this season, because they are on, I believe, 8 different times already right now on ESPN.
Ugh.
So yeah, that's why it's going to be spread out all season long. Bill Belichick's going to be on your screen the way Deion was his first year. And, you know, Deion was all over it. They had success early, and they ended up with a 4-win season. But that season is defined by their September. And, well, we get to see early on. I mean, Monday night marquee, they stand alone against TCU. I'm intrigued to see how this goes, because at no point have I thought about UNC football. I've thought about UNC's coach. And that's very unusual for a Bill Belichick coach team.
I want to ask you a college football television question. Fox made news over the summer by adding Dave Portnoy to Big Noon Kickoff. There has been a story over the past few days. It was first reported that Ohio State banned Portnoy, a noted Michigan fan, from going on the field at Ohio Stadium when Ohio State faces Texas this weekend. Then I believe it was Ohio State's AD who said, that's not true. Fox said only the people who are on the desk are going on the field, and Portnoy is not on the desk. It's a whole thing. But really, the goal of Fox is to try to siphon viewers away from college game day.
No doubt.
They are hoping that Portnoy can be their version of Pat McAfee. Do you think that Fox can make any sort of dent in college game day's viewership this season?
Well, I think that they've already made themselves relevant with that show. You don't hire Dave Portnoy and bring on Barstool to have them go do man on the street interviews outside the stadium every game day. And for Ross Bjork, AD at Ohio State, he knows this. I mean, he's been at A&M. Come on, like to think that only those on the desk are going to be on the sideline for a broadcast where, I mean, I've been on the road with Fox for Big Noon Kickoff. This is not some like 50 slappies going on the road in a bus, and they just like pull up to the stadium and go do an online show. That's what Chad and I would do. But like that's not what happens here. Like, the expectation would be, we're going to put him on the desk. I mean, why wouldn't you have him on the desk for a segment? This isn't something where you plan on just making a blanket statement and saying, you know, we're only using him this way. No, I don't think they would be that close-minded to it. And you've heard various reports on this, mine would be leaning towards the Michigan fan can't get inside the horseshoe, which, I mean, doesn't surprise me, given the way that rivalry goes and the things that have been said.
Now, Hutt, turning to the Tennessee Titans, they've had their trouble at offensive line, and we've chronicled it for the last, you know, 3 seasons. But it seems like this year, it seems like they're getting their act together. They went out. We all know who they signed. They're switching positions of J.C. Latham and put him back to his original position. Cushenberry, they hope, can come back fully healthy, hopefully by the start of the season. But are you surprised, given all of that, that they released Corey Levin? Because of anybody that has been cut on his team, that was the biggest surprise to me.
That's the only surprise right now for me. Mm-hmm. By the way, did they re-sign him to the practice squad?
Not that I know of.
Okay, that could be their plan.
Not right now. Yeah, as of now, no.
Exactly.
I don't know.
There could be. Okay. There could be a waiting game because he's a free agent, right? He might be testing the market. Is that fair to say?
Yes. But look, right now, your backup center is either the undrafted offensive lineman who hasn't—he's played five total snaps of center in college. Or who am I leaving out here? Or there's a swing guy who has played every position. But I mean, it's Cushenberry. You mentioned, you know, hopefully Cushenberry's ready to go. I mean, this is a sign that he better be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like Corey Levin to me was one of the bright spots of camp. I mean, he of the off season, he took those reps with Ward. He was the guy if Cushenberry wasn't back, and we didn't know that for sure until what, 3 weeks ago. It feels like forever ago. But this, you know, the final roster thing, like whenever I saw his name, that was the only surprise, just given the fact of the importance of what he represented all off season and to go on and the youth movement. I understand hoarding offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. I do, like keeping the initial 11. Like, it's hard to find good offensive linemen in the NFL. We all know that. We lived through last year. But the center position and knowing what Cushenberry means, what Levin means to the backup spot, and just the, you know, if the dam breaks, you've got somebody that has spent time the entire offseason with the other starting four. That was a head scratcher, unless you're bringing him back on the practice squad. But again,
but why would you take a chance that you would lose him?
Willie, the only thing I'm with you, man. The only thing I can come up with is like you have some agreement with him.
Yeah.
That you're bringing him back because you can pay as much as you want to a player on the practice squad now, on those veteran spots.
Right.
But they weren't saving.
The veteran thing might come in there is the only thing I fear, but he's $1.5 million.
I know.
That can't be breaking your bank. You don't know. Are you that worried about whether his $1.5 million is guaranteed or not? I just
know.
If they lose him and all of a sudden Cushenberry re-injures or something nightmares like that, we were hearing that, like you said, they've been singing his praises for so long.
Yeah, he's been fine. I mean, and again, like we haven't seen any issues with him and the rookie quarterback. So I don't know, like that to me would be glaring if there were problems there. There haven't been, and I always say, like, right out of the chute with all the roster cuts, like, give it time. We got to see the final roster. But this one just feels different. Like, it's hard for me to see the plan whenever, you know, you've got a guy that's been working every single day with your starting quarterback and your veteran who's better and needs to be ready to go is coming off an Achilles injury that is, you know, it you just don't know. So, again, I'll go back to what you guys are reiterating. It's a head scratcher, and it's really the only big surprise for me on a roster right now that lacks depth, and that's where they had some, and I don't see it right now in what they've done.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. So, Hut, here we go. Here's our three Titans questions from training camp. Just a quick zinger. Okay. So you just give me an over or under on these three so far.
Okay.
Over or under 42.5 sacks allowed by the offensive line, which would be a marked improvement and about league average.
I would go over on that because of the rookie quarterback. You're going to take your sacks. There are going to be mistakes. And this offensive line is going to have injuries. Give me the over.
Okay. Calvin Ridley, over or under 1,100 yards receiving?
Ooh, I think that's right. I think you're right on the number. Man, if you just said 1,000, I'm going over. You know what? I'm going to take the over on this. I think it's less than 1,200, more than 1,100, Willie. I think you're right around the number because I think Cam Ward trusts his wideout, and I think Ridley's pretty durable. I think he's going to be on the field.
Okay, and the last one for the Titans is Cam Ward over or under 13.5 games played?
Games played, not games started. No, I know where you're going here. It'll be all games started. Let's see.
Yeah.
I'm going under.
Oh.
I'm taking the under.
Ah. Hutton, not only did I go over.
You and I agree.
Not only did I go over.
Mason Adam, not.
I said he's going to play all 17.
Oh, my good. Wow. This journeyman. Let me touch the cloak of Cam Ward. No longer Sean McVay. It's now Cam Ward we all need to touch.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just, the trend is you're going to play your backups. And again, this is not like an, Dennis Kelly's not the rotational tackle on this offensive line. So with all that, and I expect Cam Ward to take some hits. It's not like he's played a ton of snaps in the preseason. He's played about average to what we've seen from the top picks in recent years. But again, like those hits, those bumps in the road are going to come, and he's going to miss a start or two. That's just what starters across the league do. I'll take the under, but I think the number's pretty good. Had it been, you know, I think you get a lot more under taking the under if it's 14.5 instead of 13.5.
All right, last one for you. Texas, Ohio State. What are we going to see? What do you think?
I'm taking Texas. Texas and Withrow pinned this months ago. And I the more and more I look at their roster, the more and more it feels like they are the Ohio State of this season, talent wise. I mean, they've paid for it, but again, like look at their defense. they're elite defense. They're fast where they need to be fast. They're long and they can stop the run. I'm looking more than just Arch Manning. And then I know it's been two starts, but the last name on his jersey is Manning. It's hard to see a Manning fail in any prediction that you make. Yeah, I think Texas is going to go on the road and win. And there are a lot of question marks about Ohio State. That's also factor into my prediction. New quarterback, new play callers, plural. And there's a lot of hype around Ohio State winning the national title. Now that pressure is on Texas, I think they'll handle it well in week one.
Hutton, quickly, before we let you go, since Silly Underdog Picks is next, just for fun, what's your Silly Underdog pick for this week?
Oh, my goodness. Is Auburn favored or are they not?
Let me see.
Auburn is favored by 2.5 at Baylor.
All right. Here's what I don't want to take anybody.
Can go ahead.
Give me Baylor then at home on Friday night against Auburn.
Okay.
But, Hugh Freeze is talking about – he won't even acknowledge who he's starting at quarterback, and he's talking about using different play callers for different downs and distances. That's terrible. that's an underdog pick. I'm surprised they're favored after those comments.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick has been our guest on D-Maze, Fingen, and Donick. He joins us every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
All right, guys. I'll be listening. Thank you.
Yep.
Jonathan Hutton on the program. Always a pleasure to talk to Hutton. 615-737-1025. All right, everybody. It is time. The start of season 31. The Shane Battier anniversary. Thank you, David James.
Oh, my goodness.
The Shane Battier anniversary. Of Silly Underdog Picks is coming up next. We'll welcome in Chris Sanders. We'll reveal our mystery contestant. And you need to be listening as well for the cue to call for the People's Pick. 615-737-1025. Silly Underdog Picks is next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingen, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Fingen, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingen. And if you hear that music, you know it's time. For Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, I just want all of you to know, Chris Sanders hasn't answered his phone. And Willie, as the commissioner, if Chris doesn't get a pick in, he forfeits. So Chris Sanders, if you're listening, pick up your damn phone. It's time for Silly Underdog Picks. And with that
being said, we get an all-points bulletin out to Chris Sanders on the Montgomery Bell Academy field, which I'm sure he's probably finishing up the day.
He knew what time it was.
Yeah, he claimed. I mean, we're doing this for him.
Exactly.
We are moving Silly Underdog Picks for Chris Sanders, our defending champion. I turn it over to our commissioner, Willie Donick.
Oh, Willie D. Ooh, Willie. Oh, Willie.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your commissioner speaking, coming at you from New England. Coming at you from the state of Rhode Island, Narragansett to be exact. Silly Underdog Picks is underway for the season of 2025, the 31st year of this fine contest. Over two different shows, a couple different time slots, sometimes more than once with more different shows. But, of course, the founding father, George Plaster, has given us his blessing to continue this contest as it goes back to drive time here on DVD. We are excited. And it is brought to you once again by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. So, let's recap the season last year. The 30th anniversary, which was
The Pearl anniversary.
The Pearl anniversary. Thank you, Pearl. Adam. The victor and the champion, Mr. Chris Sanders.
The no-show.
The no-show. He's nowhere around.
But right now, he was so excited texting us yesterday, talking trash or texting trash.
Benedict Sanders is how I refer to him.
Yes.
Benedict
Sanders.
So
let's recap. Let's recap the competition. He ran away with it. Okay, it started in the very first week when he picked Vanderbilt and the upset over the Hokies of Virginia Tech, the coming out party of Diego Pavia. Somehow, Chris Sanders was all over it. You know about his strategy. It's boom or bust.
Mm-hmm.
He can finish first, and he can finish last. He's done both since he joined the competition just a few years ago. But the ultimate, even though he had it won, he had the competition probably in the bag. The big rivalry weekend, Chris Sanders, a proud Ohio State Buckeye in two sports, football and track, selected Michigan over his alma mater. A treasonous act which has never and will never be forgotten.
Yeah, you can never get over that one. Can never forget it, ever. Gosh, how did he do that? Why did he do
but,
that?
Okay, so before we introduce our new contestant this year, I just want to hit D-Mace and Adam up with one question, okay? D-Mace, we'll start with you.
Yes.
What did you learn from last year's competition, and what adjustments will you make to try to get back to the throne? Because you are a former champion.
Yeah.
But you really slipped last year. What happened?
Yeah. I got to take some risk, man. This is about risk-taking, okay? If you don't take no risk, you won't win. Either go home or go big, and I need to go big, and it might start this weekend. That's what I understood. That's what I learned.
I was also risk adverse last season. I was content with, to mix sports metaphors here, just get on base. I wasn't going for the double-digit underdogs. I was picking single-digit underdogs, and it actually did work ultimately. Willie did not mention that I finished in second place.
You did.
Last
you got the silver medal
in
as a rookie.
My rookie season.
When you ain't first, you last.
Well, okay? You know who was last?
Well,
Derek Mason. That's who was last.
Y'all were last with me, okay?
And Chase McCabe, who has ceded his spot in the competition, finished in third place. So, Willie, why don't we introduce our mystery contestant, our rookie for the season, someone who actually picked up the phone when it was time for silly underdog
picks. We can count on this person.
Yes, we can.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have been throwing out hints of who this gentleman is. We revealed that he is a gentleman, and he is tall. He can skate. He also was an outstanding high school quarterback up in this area of the country back in the day, and he makes his silly underdog pick debut today, representing the Predators broadcast family, the one, the only, the Stanley Cup winning defenseman, 1,100 games in the NHL, Mr. Hal Gill. Skillsy!
Hey, is that a bell coming in?
Yes.
Hey, we got it all for you, Skillsy.
I like that. Thanks for – hey, I am honored to be on this I'm excited about this season. If there's anything I'm good at, it's silly. And I'm looking forward to it.
All right. So what preparation have you done? Like when you were offered this prize position, this prestigious position, did you consult others or is this a solo act? Give me your thoughts on how you're going to pick college football each week.
Well, you know me well enough to know I can't do anything on my own. I'm a team guy, and so I'm drawing off my team. I have the broadcast team has my back. I think we have a well balanced attack where we have some heart, a lot of heart, and some brains, and some people that just don't have one or the other. So I'm trying to balance everyone's opinions with their heart and their head and come out with the best possible silly underdog.
Okay. I think you're ready. So just give people
a brief. And of course, Willie, you've been on the text and you know there's a lot of nonsense as well. So
again, that's what this contest is all about. The contest is all about nonsense, Skillsy. So you're going to fit right in. A quick background. So, Skillsy, you back when you were in high school, you could have played college football, correct?
yeah, that was kind of, I had to make the decision between hockey and football. And, you know, I stayed up many a night crying about it. But eventually I couldn't let hockey go. So I gave up my dream of being a quarterback and probably gave up my dream of, you know, taking over like Tom Brady's spot for the Patriots, that kind of thing. But we'll never know.
Excuse me, okay. Mr. Commissioner, before we get to the picks, I want your official ruling. Chris Sanders has been – David James has attempted to reach Chris Sanders multiple times.
Yes. Four times.
I have texted
times.
Chris Sanders multiple times. Here is what I suggest to the commissioner. If Chris Sanders does not call back and submit his pick by the end of this segment, he forfeits week one.
Yes. Yes.
You think about
that. This is unprecedented.
No, it's not. He's the one that called for this time.
We changed the time exactly. For Chris Sanders, and he can't be bothered to show up?
Come on now, Willie. We're calling the cold red right now.
So I want you to consider that while we make our selections. But let's just quickly go over the order of selection. Derek Mason, since he was the biggest loser last season, he'll go first. Hal will pick second this week, and it's sort of a snake draft, right? So next week, Hal will pick first, etc. Hal will pick second. I will pick third. And if Chris decides to show up, he'll pick last.
Okay. Well, Chris Sanders, boy, you talk about being on the clock. He fortunately does have the fourth pick. So with that in mind, for people that are new to the contest, maybe new to the station, maybe new to Nashville, here's the simple rule of Silly Underdog Picks. The beauty is the simplicity. You pick an underdog each week. That underdog must win outright. 0 points for a cover. Zero. And the bigger the underdog, the bigger the reward. Thus, the strategy of Chris Sanders, who's more boom or bust and not moving the sticks 10 yards at a time. So if you pick a one-point underdog and that underdog wins outright, you get 1 point. If you pick a 20-point underdog and they win outright, you see the difference in the math. So best man wins by the end of the season. So let's get it started. The first pick of 2025, Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer and Host and Gasket, belongs to the Spartan dog himself, Derek Mason.
I'm jamming over here, man. Post Malone, let's go. That's the vibe we on all season.
All right, Derek.
So with that being said, I said go big or go home. I'm taking the Orangemen of Syracuse to upset UT. Oh. Both teams ushering in new quarterbacks. One a three-star from Jersey, from Notre Dame, Steve Angel, and then obviously UT's ushering in their new quarterback. But UT got to replace a whole bunch of offensive linemen. So look for this one to be close, but I'm picking the Orangemen of Syracuse to upset. Let's go, Post Malone, baby!
All right, Willie, tell us the spread.
Okay, Syracuse is a 14-point dog. The orange. They are now just the orange.
Not the orange.
And they are a 14-point dog playing at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta Saturday at noon against the big orange, the University of Tennessee, ranked 24th. So this is an interesting, a neutral field, so to speak, although we know there will be a lot of Tennessee's shade of orange that will be rocking there. Shades of the season opener back in 1998 when Tennessee and T. Martin started their road to the national championship with a dramatic win over Donovan McNabb and the Syracuse. Back then they were called the Orange Men. So this is a fun matchup here. Syracuse and 14 for D-Mace. Okay, that brings us to the debut of Hal Gill. So let's see what he has selected as his theme song.
This is a different vibe than I anticipated from Hal Gill.
I like you, Hal.
Hey, listen. That gets the people going, right? Willie, we get on the road and And, you know, when we need to get going, we need to motor up. Like, that comes on. And we jam out to it. And I feel like it's doing the trick right now. I'm excited about it.
All right, Hal.
It has been played more than once on the back of the media bus with the traveling road show with the Predators broadcast crew. No question about it. The purple hat. So Hal in his purple hat, let's see who he selects.
All right. Well, after my advisory committee gave me several options, we looked at a few different things. I was promised bodily harm if I took Texas. So I'm going to steer clear of that one. And I think we all agreed, and I think I feel really comfortable riding the Taylor Swift wave with the Kelce brothers and taking Cincy over Nebraska. As we all know, Nebraska, the N stands for knowledge. So I'm taking Cincy.
I like that one.
The Bearcats of Cincinnati are a 6.5-point dog as they take on Nebraska, and this game is being played at Arrowhead Stadium, fittingly enough. It's a very big Kelce Taylor Swift vibe at this game. And we'll see if the Bearcats can get the W. So 6.5-point dog, Cincinnati against Nebraska at Arrowhead.
Now, is that locked in, Willie? I have a question. As the commissioner, is that locked in now, or is that up until game time?
You are locked in, my friend.
You are locked in.
That is your pick.
It's locked in at 6.5.
No, it's locked in at what you pick it at during the
is right now is what the point is, the points that you'll get.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
All right, Hal's first pick is documented. That brings us to one Adam Vingan going into his sophomore season in this fine competition, coming off a silver medal performance as a rookie.
All righty. Derek took the Tennessee Volunteers. There is another game that Tennessee fans are going to be paying attention to, I am sure, this weekend. Let's take a trip to Pasadena, California, where Nico Iamaliava, the Iamali drama, is behind him. He is playing quarterback for the UCLA Bruins, who are 5.5-point underdogs, at least according to what I'm looking at home against the Utah Utes. Give me Nico in the Bruins to upset Utah in Nico's debut at the Rose Bowl this weekend.
No, oh, I like that one.
In a vaunted traditional Big Ten matchup that goes back 1 year, the Battle of the U's, Utah versus UCLA. It is the Bruins. Yes, with Nico making the debut, they are indeed a 5.5-point dog in the Rose Bowl, 5.5-point home dog against the Utes. So 5.5 at the Rose Bowl for Mr. Adam Vingan.
Hey, okay. Willie, guess who decided to show up?
Oh, just in time.
Chris Sanders, I just want you to know this.
Fashionably late.
I'm going to talk over this because you got in under the wire, my friend. If you didn't call within the next couple of minutes, you were going to forfeit week one.
You were going to be excommunicated. You were going to be excommunicated.
Thanks for joining us, Chris.
That's it.
Man, I just got out of practice. I've been running around like Derek Mason.
You know whose fault is that?
We moved this competition for you.
You know whose fault is that? Yours.
Hey, I just got out. I mean, I'm in the coaches. I just got out.
You know what?
Thursday.
You know what? You're saying too many. Stop it, okay? You're saying too many of those things.
Hey, Derek, as long as I give it my all, this all
right.
matters, mister.
Chris, you just got in under the wire. Willie, recap the pick so Chris knows who's already taken.
Yes. And Chris, let me say, too, as a member of the coaching staff, it must be prioritized that this contest must start at 5:20 sharp. So
can
practice
you give me 5:30?
For the big red. Practice must be over by 5:18 at the very end. That is the cutoff. Everybody off the field for the big red so they can hear your
pick.
I know.
My fault, man. My bad. I'm like D. Mace. He late all the time. He used to be late to meetings all the time. I'm talking about, I got to get a donut.
All right. So, Chris, before I get
you ain't supposed to be telling our stories, man.
That That's supposed to stay in the locker room.
Hey,
today?
Listen, those Krispy Kremes were good, man. Hey,
okay. Hey, Mace, I saw you in your tank top. Uh oh. It's got a Kool-Aid stain on it, man.
All right.
Oh boy.
Willie, recap the picks for Chris.
Well, I'm picking Texas.
Okay. You're not picking Texas.
He ain't picking Texas.
All right, hold on.
He would do that.
Before we get the pick, Chris, can you just give some words of wisdom to our new rookie, Hal Gill, who joins the competition? Because when I revealed that Hal was going to be on our text line, the fourth member of our – you had a very decisive message for him.
Hello?
Yes, Chris.
Chris, we haven't went anywhere.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so confused.
What is wrong with Chris?
Dude, I am in practice.
Chris!
Okay, Chris, what is your pick, Chris?
Let's make it.
I'm going with Texas. I'm going with Texas over Ohio State.
Seriously?
Again?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Benedict Sanders.
Wow.
Yes, you've got to be kidding.
We thought you would have learned your lesson last year.
For merely 1.5 points.
That's it? Dang.
Yes, that's
well,
it.
Oh that's gosh. It. It's in.
Oh, my gosh. Y'all,
see Hal, this is
mad.
What you got to deal with, Hal. This right here.
I told you this days ago. It was Wednesday.
Y'all sit there. I'm so controlled worth.
No, it's not even that. He picked Texas to beat Ohio State, and it's only a 1.5-point spread. Chris, what are you doing?
Champ, long as I give him my all, that's all that matters. And I'm
no takesies, backsies.
I'm so mad right
this
now.
Could be
listen,
a problem.
Texas going to win, too. Watch.
Y'all told me.
Oh, man.
I hope none of y'all win, and I still get 1.5 points, and I'm going to still talk stuff to y'all.
And he's going to get that 1.5 points.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought the show was on Thursday, man. Y'all, I'm so mad at y'all.
Well, now that you know it's not on Thursday, it's on Wednesday.
I'll find the text that said Wednesday at 5:20.
Are you a half-text reader? I think you are.
Yes. Yeah.
Here's the problem with Chris Sanders as well. He clearly doesn't have an iPhone, so all of the bubbles are green because he's the only one with a non-iPhone.
The cricket phone, it don't work after 5.
Okay. All right. Well, Willie, let's recap week one of Silly Underdog Picks now that Chris decided to join us.
Okay. I can only describe this opening week as shocking for the defending champion, Chris Sanders.
I love y'all. My head coach is looking at me mad. I love y'all.
Okay.
I love you.
Chris Sanders needs to regroup.
All right, Chris.
I love you.
He has shown himself to be very vulnerable in week one.
Man.
This is the Silly Underdog Competition for 2025 brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We are underway. Derek Mason trying to move out of the cellar from his last place finish last year. He has decided to go big with his philosophy, and he has started off with the Syracuse Orange, a 14-point dog, as they take on Tennessee at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
Willie,
that's coming up on Saturday.
You ain't have to say all that other stuff like bottom of the barrel stuff. You ain't have to say all that. That was last year, okay? We're talking about
I'm
this
creating.
Year.
But see, this is the before after, D-Mace. I paint the picture as you struggling and down and out and then climbing out to a championship. That's drama. That's what the people want.
Okay,
they want
okay.
story.
All right.
That's what we sell. Another big story. The rookie, Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy, debuting in the competition, consulting his very deep squad of Predators broadcasters and representing. He will go with the Kelce Bowl. Cincinnati, the Bearcats are a 6.5-point dog as they take on Nebraska at Arrowhead Stadium. Also in the wake of the big engagement. Oh, yeah. Hal is all about the flavor. He's going with the Bearcats for 6.5. Then Adam Vigan, the third pick, selects UCLA, the Nico Bowl, the debut of Nico Imaliava, who defected from the Tennessee Vols. And Adam loves chaos, so he wants to see the Bruins get a win and get him some points. They're a 5.5-point dog in a conference game, a traditional Big Ten matchup that everybody has on the tip of their tongue. Who loves the Big Ten? UCLA against Utah.
This is a rival.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big rival. And then finally, a controversial pick. He is mercurial. He is an enigma. He is Chris Sanders, a former Buckeye and a forever Titan, the defending champion, usually taking the biggest underdog he can find. But today, rattled coming into the contest late, trying to defend his title. Obviously not looking at a slate of games at all. Has done no preparation. The only game he could think of, Texas, a 1.5-point dog at Ohio State in the horseshoe.
And he's
only going
win
for
that.
1.5 and picking against his alma mater.
Again.
Wow. What is going on? What is going on? So there it is, the start of the Silly Underdog Picks. Now it's the people's turn.
Now it's your turn. Call us, 615-737-1025 for the people's pick. If you represent the people and you pick correctly, you will win a pair of tickets to see Judas Priest and Alice Cooper at First Bank Amphitheater on Sunday, September 21st. Call us now, 615-737-1025. Yes, Derek?
Hey, guys, on the real note, for real, all y'all are good guys, and I just hope each one of you this week and moving forward that you lose every damn game.
Well, we'll see what happens. Call us, 615-737-1025. The people's pick is next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. A spirited first week of Silly Underdog Picks. I'm glad Chris Sanders decided to show. He was so rattled. He was so rattled.
Did he really show? Was that really him? Hey, Willie, I got a quick question.
Okay.
Before we
for
get
the
out.
Commissioner?
Yeah, for the
Do
commissioner.
I need to put my commissioner hat
yeah,
back on?
Yeah, put your
on?
Commissioner okay. hat back on. You shouldn't have taken it off, but put it back on because we got to have our listener pick. But can a listener pick the same game that one of us picked?
The answer is no, I believe.
That is correct.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
People are going off the board. The idea is they can make somebody look bad. They want to make you guys look bad and take a pick that has not been chosen.
But there's also strategy because you can win a pair of tickets to see Judas Priest and Alice Cooper at First Bank Amphitheater on Sunday, September 21st. You can try to go for the big underdog pick, or you can find the smallest underdog pick possible to give your chance a better give yourself a better chance, I should say, of winning the ticket. So let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, where Shannon has been waiting patiently. Shannon, you are representing the people this week. What is your pick in Silly Underdog Picks?
The Baylor Bears.
The Baylor Bears. Now, Jonathan Hutton mentioned this game, but he is not an official part of the competition.
Correct.
So the Baylor Bears it is. Thank you, Shannon. Good luck.
So Shannon picked the Baylor Bears.
Willie, what's the line on that game?
Shannon, let me just add that thank you. I'll thank you on behalf of the commissioner's office for adding a little class to the competition after what we saw from our panel in the last segment. Baylor.
We needed some class.
Is a 2.5-point home dog in Waco as they take on Auburn. And it's a big season for Auburn after – they struggled last year, without a doubt. So if Baylor pulls off the win, Shannon, representing the people, will be a winner.
Okay, good luck, Shannon.
Good luck, Shannon.
Terrell on our text line, this is not an official pick because we already have the people's pick, but he is taking Virginia Tech against South Carolina
in week one.
South Carolina is a 7.5-point favorite against Virginia Tech at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
Yeah,
two opponents for the Vanderbilt Commodores, both on the road. They played both of those teams at home last year. They, of course, beat Virginia Tech in a game that Chris Sanders does remember picking in opening week, and it helped win the title for him. Now Vanderbilt's got to go to Virginia Tech and right on the heels of this game. So they're going to be watching very, very carefully what happens to the Hokies there, because that is – I believe the second opponent for Vanderbilt. Am I right?
I believe that is correct.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yep.
And then it's South Carolina.
Did you guys like me sort of began to feel a little partial toward South Carolina watching the SEC sort of documentary? I started to like South Carolina for some reason. They were one of those teams watching the documentary you just started to like, at least me.
I think they're very intriguing, too, and I think they will not, like Vanderbilt, sneak up on teams this year. That by the end of the year, they were right there for a playoff berth. They came very, very close. They were kind of that team that kept moving up, And the committee, I don't think, really knew what to do with them because they weren't really being considered, but they just kept playing great. And now they've got a lot of guys back, including an excellent quarterback who was a guy that was highly touted out of high school, but he was young last year. But, man, did he get better. So that's a really intriguing team to watch.
A lot of intriguing matchups. We will get more into those college football matchups tomorrow with Mitch Lay. But just, of course, Texas at Ohio State, 1-3. Another top 10 matchup, Catholics versus convicts, Notre Dame in Miami. The number 6 Fighting Irish versus the 10th-ranked Miami Hurricanes in Miami. We mentioned Virginia Tech and South Carolina. LSU and Clemson as well, another top 10 matchup at Clemson. So a lot of really good college football games.
Another game, and this may end up being a blowout, but another game, Michigan is starting a freshman quarterback, a true freshman quarterback. He's damn good, but they're starting a true freshman quarterback. They've lost some players from last year. And then is their coach suspended for this game, or is it the game?
Yes.
So you got your coach suspended. Watch this game. If their coach is suspended, I don't know if it's for this one or the game they play in Germany. Don't they play a game in Germany?
They do. I believe that's next year.
Okay, that's next year. So watch this game very closely. This game may end up being closer, and I wouldn't be surprised if New Mexico won that game. I know they playing in a big house. I know they got to travel, and I know it's a tall task for New Mexico, but Michigan is playing a freshman quarterback, and they don't have their coach for the first game.
We will get more.
Quite often, there's a big upset in this first weekend, right? There's usually some drama, and sometimes there's that upset out of nowhere. Did anybody consider Florida State against Alabama?
No.
Home dog, no. Mm-mm. Alabama, new quarterback, nope. You're a believer?
UCLA over Utah was my first choice. I had 3 choices written down. That was my first choice.
Okay. No, nobody considered the at Doak Campbell, the Seminoles.
No. After Florida State had just an awful season last season.
They were bad.
I could not bring myself to do it. But that'll do it for us today on the program. Tomorrow we will look ahead to week 1 of college football season with the Athletics' Mitch Light in the 3 o'clock hour, plus a special Thursday edition of Ask D-Mace at 5 o'clock. Since Derek's taking a long Labor Day weekend, we will move Ask D-Mace up one day from Friday to Thursday. But we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Chasing Checkers, coming up next.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The show love you. Peace.